Thank you, Helen. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. At the start of this new year, I introduced this verse that we would be having as our verse for the year as a church. So I figured enough talk, it's time to actually start looking at it. And so I've printed on your new sheet a copy that you can, if you like, you can cut off and put on your fridge door or something. I've used slightly thicker paper today if you want to do that. It's not the actual verse, but it's a summary of that verse. I wonder what life to the full means to you. In fact, I'm curious, and I'm going to be asking people over the next few weeks as we look and dig deeper into this topic. So don't be surprised if I nobble you at coffee and say, Andy, what does life to the full mean to you? Or Jean, what does life to the full mean to you? I think we'll probably all have slightly different answers, and I think that's the beauty of our relationship with God, that we each discover ourselves personally what it means to live an enriched, life-giving life with Jesus. So I'd introduced it at New Year. I won't go over again what I said then. It is available at the website. The main point that I made on our first service this year was that life is too short for many things. But contrary to popular belief, life is not too short to get to know the secret of a fulfilling life. Because Jesus is the secret of a fulfilling life, of an abundant life. He has come to offer us the best way that we, the best life that we could possibly have. However, I'm not really sure that we always believe this. And if we don't believe it, and if we don't live it, then who is this promise for? Much of the time, I suspect we actually think, abundant life, life to the full, it's somehow passed me by. So we're going to take a look at this verse again from John 10. And we're going to go back to the early teachings of Jesus in Luke's Gospel over the next few weeks in chapters 4 and 5 of Luke's Gospel and explore his own mission plan and how he started to bring it about in his own day. And we'll be translating that to our own experience. Well, let's see that verse in front of us. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. In fact, let's see the verse in its completeness. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. It's important to read the whole verse because Jesus, if he has a plan for our good, Satan has the opposite plan. And I think we need to be aware of this. It's something I find so easy to forget. We're in a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on in the heavens. It's a conflict between good and evil, and it impacts our lives too. We see it here in this verse. There are two entities. There's God and there's the thief. As an aside, as I was preparing for this last night, I was listening to Radio 3 to the fable of the Rheingold, which Richard Wagner put into an opera. I'm sure most of you were listening to Radio 3 for 4 hours last night. No? It's one of my passions. So I turned it on in the background. In fact, my dad phoned me up and said, you've got to turn on Radio 3. Anyway, let me tell you about this fantasy story. In his fantasy world, there's peace and harmony until the treasure of the River Rhine is stolen. And when the gold is stolen by a thief, it corrupts. And when it's stolen again, it leads to murder. And when it's stolen again, it leads to the downfall of the gods. And when it's stolen again, it leads to the downfall of humanity. Order is only restored finally through fire and flood, total destruction, and the return of the gold to the Rhine. I guess the moral of the story, though I've never heard any of the experts at the Wagner Society say this, is that thieving is bad. There you go, a summary of 16 hours of four nights of opera. Thieving is bad. Well, Scripture tells us that Satan has only one purpose, one goal, one strategy, and that is to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal your pleasure. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your finances, your joy. He wants to steal your friendship with God. In short, he wants to steal your life. He's come to kill. He really wanted to do away with you before you had a chance to respond to Jesus and his grace. But now that you have, he wants to destroy you so that you don't keep going, so that you don't build God's kingdom, so that you don't lead other people to Jesus. He wants to destroy your marriages. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your family, your confidence, your work, your purpose in life. Does this sound harsh? Well, it's what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. When we look at the things that are going on in the world, in our lives, we know that he is on the job. But so is God. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying, Satan may have his purposes, but I have a purpose as well, and my purpose is far greater than his. My purpose is life-giving, not life-sapping. My purpose is that you will have life. Life to the full, abundant life, successful life. That's what God wants us to think on, the abundant life. So we're going to touch on it again this morning and this year. When Jesus came, saying that he came to give life, he wasn't talking merely about physical life. He wasn't talking merely about material prosperity, but life as it was meant to be, purposeful life, life as it was supposed to be before Satan got his grubby hands on it and twisted it, and twisted our expectations and twisted our experiences. He hoodwinked Adam and Eve and everyone since. But when Jesus came along, as we read in the first reading, he met his match in the new man. I mean, turn back with me, if you can, to Luke 4. Jesus has just been baptized. There have been all these prophecies about who he is going to be, God's savior, God's rescuer, the hope of Israel. And then that long genealogy tracing Jesus all the way back to God. And then he's sent out into the desert. What are the tricks of the evil one? Well, Luke highlights three of the devil's methods. He uses doubts. Look at verse 3. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days in the desert. He was hungry. Surely, Jesus, you're not satisfied with this kind of existence. Don't you want this trial of hunger to come to an end? Aren't you able to determine your situation? That is, if you are the Son of God. The snake says, did God really say you mustn't eat fruit from any tree in the garden? He causes us to doubt God. To doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's promises, to maybe look for shortcuts to where we think we should be in life. He uses deceit, verse 7, lies. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. See these kingdoms, Satan says to Jesus, taking him up to a high place. If you worship me, they will all be yours. He's full of lies and cunning and seduction. You can have all the glory, Jesus, for yourself. You can have earthly kingdoms. Why go this slow route of self-denial and suffering that leads to the cross? The snake said, if you eat the fruit from this tree, Eve, you will not surely die. He lies. And he distorts truth. Look at verse 9. Jesus, if you are the Son of God, the devil says, throw yourself down from here. For it's written in the Bible, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. The devil quotes scripture, but he misuses it. And he takes it out of context to confuse and try to make it say what it doesn't mean. Promote yourself, Jesus. Be a bit more daring. See where you can take all of this. See how famous you could be. And the snake said to Eve, Eve, God knows if you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Half-truths, distorted truths. No, the thief has nothing to offer. He can only try to steal what is God's and what is ours and what is good, but give it back broken. The problem is we fall for it nearly every time. But Jesus thankfully didn't. And that's what this introduction to the ministry of Jesus is showing us in Luke 4. Jesus does not fall for the devil's lies. He's not like us. He's not like Adam and Eve and fallen human beings. He is the new man, true man, man as God intends for humanity to be. And what is Jesus able to do for us? He's able to break Satan's hold on life, which is what we'll see in Luke as we come back to it. If Satan is the thief, Jesus is the life giver. He showed in his own life the power to overthrow the evil presences from people's lives. He showed power to heal physically as a sign of God's new kingdom. He showed power to transform people's life mission, to restore broken outcasts into community, to rescue us from guilt, to redeem a hopeless life. Jesus showed himself as the doctor for our souls. He came to bring abundant life. There was a man who thought he had the answer to the things of life. He believed he was chosen for an abundant life. He was a rich man. He'd worked hard for it. He was becoming prosperous, and he had an opportunity to have more. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store all of my wealth. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my storehouses and build bigger ones. There I will store all my wealth, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But of course, that is part of Satan's lies to us. Just as in so many other areas of our lives, not just our wealth, but our security, our comfort, our hopes, our dreams, Satan turns what is good in our lives into our idols. So we end up serving and living for the wrong things. Things we think will bring us abundance and life and joy, but actually which will destroy us or consume us or distract us from what is really good. God said to this man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. What then is life to the full, a life lived with abundance, if it's not these things? Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. What then is the abundance that Jesus has come to give us? See, these things don't make us rich towards God. But seek his kingdom, said Jesus, and these things will be given to you as well. God will not withhold his blessing to those who seek to be rich towards him. So what am I supposed to do to be rich towards God, to be in his abundance? I've repented of my sin. I've come to Christ. I'm a churchgoer. I even serve in the life of the church. Well, let me conclude by briefly looking at our second reading, which I've got on the screen for convenience, but you can turn up as well if you like. I think it was 1:2:2:2. Jesus said, Peter rather said, in this passage, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Jesus. And he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says that if you want the abundance of life that Jesus spoke of in our memory verse, then these are some of the things that you must do after you have come to Christ. Let me just highlight some of those for us. He says, add to your faith goodness. Living a good, moral, Christian life, it means having the strength and the courage to stand up for Christ's teaching and govern your life by them. Add to your goodness knowledge, knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of the teachings of Christ. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Add to knowledge self-control. That's what Jesus was teaching us when he faced the devil. To master and control the body with all of its sinful desires. To stand against the lust of the flesh and the lure of the evil one and the pride of life. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance or patience under trial. That if there's a spirit in us that stands up and faces up to life's trials, it goes about conquering and overcoming them. It's knowing that God is allowing difficult things in order to teach us how to be more patient and to perseverance, godliness, to live in reverence and awe of God, to be conscious of God's presence, that one lives as God would live if he were walking on the earth, being Christ-like, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. It's how we do church together, how we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And to brotherly kindness, add love. Love of neighbour, love of the unlovely, love of the unworthy. God so loved the world. So we should seek to love as he has loved us. I wonder if these qualities match up to your idea of living life to the full. The work of the Holy Spirit is what's being talked about here, in how he transforms you to make you this kind of woman or this kind of man. Not by shortcuts, not necessarily in our timing and in our control, but in dependence on him. What do you say the marks of the abundant life in Christ are? What is life to the full in your own mind? As I said, I would love to find out what you think as we explore these in more detail over the next few weeks. Come and tell me one thing about what it means for you. Before Jesus can grow us, he's lots of ground that needs ploughing in us. Before he can build us, new foundations need laying. And as Peter says at the end of this quote here, if you do these things, you will never fail. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? To be in God's plan, a plan that never fails and leads to a rich welcome. Let me pray. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Father, as we look at our world, as we think about what we hope for and what we live for and what we long for, Lord, help us to see when these desires have been marred and twisted by greed or selfishness or worldly pursuits, if they're not godly, if they are not of you. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We thank you that Jesus is a conqueror, a victor, that he came and he took on the evil one and he won. Thank you that he has won life and he has offered that life to us. Lord, please help us to know your life in us. Help us to explore the depths of it and the height of it and the breadth of it. Help us to know your love. And help us to live a life that will never fall. A life that receives a rich welcome because it's a life that you are bringing in us by your Spirit. Help us to desire your life more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.